B-Pod Studios.
We on an uneven playing field. Top of the totem pole. 97.5, Mike Missanelli Show. Si, senor, we numero uno. And internationally large, just like a sumo. 2-6, Monday to TGIF. Mikey misses the Philly where Hades the wide clef. A man of the people, ambassador. Put this bull in the ring, they turn the matadors. All competition completely non-existent. Burning up the phone lines, record number listeners. All the biggest names and the hottest topics. A runaway train in the drive time slot. It's kinda hard to stop us. On remote, standing ovation just like an opera. The best show on earth, I feel that's very proper. The most electric sports talk, ain't no need to shock ya. Turn your radios up, Mike's ready to rock.
Good afternoon, everybody. Mike Missanelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast, and try to talk a little baseball today, but we're going to try, like, yesterday we had the love show, right? It was Valentine's Day, the love show, stuff we love, old relationship stories, all kinds of stuff, who we love, teams we love. This is the goal, and now going to, as we go to the weekend, we'll go back to normal. We're going to have the hate show. what do we hate? Because a lot of people right now hate baseball. And I want to get deeply involved in this here. People hate baseball right now. And I don't know why. Like I'm, tell me why I am unfazed by all these free agents that are still out there. I couldn't care less. I don't look at it as a problem. It's a free market society. They're trying to strike their best deal. I don't understand why it's a problem. The season doesn't start for a couple of months, right? Spring training really means nothing to us, does it? If we go through spring training, like football and mini camps and the regular camp and all that stuff means something because we get reports every day. There's quarterbacks, there's hits, there's plays. You know, it's more of a play-by-play. But spring training baseball is basically nothing. The games don't even count in spring training baseball. So I go, why would I care about, like, right now? Like, I'm not plugged into baseball right now. I love baseball. As you know, I'm a baseball man. I'm not even plugged into it. Now, we're going to go down there in a couple weeks, and we'll get plugged into it a little more, but I'm not plugged into it at all right now because I don't know what the Phillies are, and I know that these guys that are holding the Phillies hostage are still going to hold the Phillies hostage, and there's nothing I can do about it, but it doesn't make me hate the sport. I'm still going to love the sport. When the summer's going on and everybody's playing baseball, I'm going to love baseball. Why do we hate it now? Why are we wasting our energy hating baseball right now? Tyrone, you hate baseball right now.
Yeah, you hate it. I do, and here's why, Mike.
We've
been at odds all week, Mike.
Yes.
I might as well continue this because I always thought that Mike Missanelli was a man of the people.
I am.
They cared about labor over the bosses. But so baseball revenues, Mike, are at an all-time high. Yet the players are getting, the labor is getting way, way less. That's why they're home. They're not home right now because of free market and they want to get the best deal. They're right now because these owners have colluded amongst themselves.
First of all, you made baseball labor.
They are labor.
Which is not. It's not labor.
When there's,
it's a sport, but it's not labor.
It's labor.
It's not laborious.
But it's labor.
No,
I'm
it's
always,
not.
When it's the M's versus the B's,
you know,
the millionaires.
Football's labor, basketball's labor, hockey's labor, baseball's not labor. Baseball's leisure.
I tune in to watch the players, not the owners. And what the owners have done, they've created a system now where they get more money and they don't give it back to the players. Now,
well, okay,
and that's causing a problem. So the players aren't home because they want to be. They're home because the owners have decided in a sport that has no cap, in which they're getting tons of money that they're not going to spend.
Are you actually feeling sorry for baseball players?
I am.
Really?
I am.
When middle infielders and backup players like Scotty Jetpacks is making $4 million a year, you're really worried about the owners withholding revenue from the baseball players?
I am.
Listen, I can see in other sports, not in baseball. And if they wanted to rectify the situation in baseball, they do the same thing that they do in the NBA with a percentage of the revenues and a salary cap. But that's never going to happen in baseball.
it's
baseball
not.
Owners make the rules. If they don't want to spend a lot of money for Bryce Harper and Manny Machado, they don't have to. It's a free market society.
I'm fine with that. But then let's not then pretend that they're staying home because a lot of these guys, you only took them at the top two. The top two are different. Everyone underneath the top two is suffering right now.
If the other guys were that good, they'd be signed.
Nah.
They're obviously flawed players.
All of these guys are flawed players.
Before I invest in a flawed player, I'm going to come down to the lowest price possible because maybe I'm sick and tired of paying middle infielders $6 million a year that don't even start.
Well, that's fine. But
why is that baseball's fault?
But it makes your game and makes your offseason really lame.
There are the haves and have-nots. The owners are the haves. The players are employees of these owners, right? And there's no salary cap. They can do whatever they want. They can hike their payroll up to more than $200 million. They can keep it below $100 million. Oh. It all depends on what the fans are going to say about what kind of team they want in their city. Breaking news. Bryce Harper signed.
No.
Why?
No.
What is it? Why tease me with breaking news in the middle of this rant?
I'm sorry. This is pretty big. So apparently in a stunning move, strongly signaling a financial settlement between Colin Kaepernick and the NFL, Yahoo Sports has learned the quarterback has withdrawn his collusion complaint against the NFL. Sources said that Kaepernick would only withdraw if a lucrative settlement was secured. So it seems a settlement has been reached.
So they settled with the guy. Does the settlement include him actually getting a roster spot?
Nothing that. The official statement says, for the past several months, counsel for Mr. Kaepernick and Mr. Reed have engaged in an ongoing dialogue with the NFL. As a result of those discussions, the parties have decided to resolve the pending grievances.
Ah.
The resolution.
So let me try to interpret this. Somewhere along the line, Roger Goodell and the board said, if you drop this suit, we'll give you the money, and we assure you you'll get a fair shot to join one of our rosters.
Well, the final
the
final sentence of the statement says the resolution is subject to a confidentiality agreement, so there will be no further comment by either party.
It was money. They cut Kaepernick a check because he was going to win his collusion case.
Well, I got to be honest with you. I think unless this is a precursor to him getting back in the league, and only he would know that, and his attorney would know that, he sold out. He sold out. Basically, is what he did. He sold out like the players sold out with their protests when the NFL threw some money at him.
Yeah.
Money overcame the protest. I can't respect that.
Unless he gets on a team.
Maybe there's a wink that he's going to get a shot to be on a team.
That's probably the case. And I say that because of the people around him, especially his girlfriend, who has become a national figure, who would not let him, she would not stay with him if he sold out.
So what are you saying?
I'm saying he's going to be back in the league.
Okay.
We'll see.
If this is a precursor to him getting back in the league, then the NFL probably did the right thing. Now, you can't compel owners to hire him, but there must be some feedback within the NFL that somebody's going to sign him and somebody would like to sign him.
Yeah.
Otherwise, he just sold out. All right. Well, we can talk about that, too. You know, I've run that to the hilt, that collusion suit. That collusion suit would be worth $1 billion.
I would have been staying in it just for the discovery. The discovery, because they would have to explain why some of these quarterbacks were playing and how they fit. I would like to make them explain themselves over and over again in open court. So there must be a lot of money, because everybody will sell out for enough money. Like, if they came to him and said, I'll give you $50
million. Yeah.
Do you sell out for $50 million? I might.
If you're Colin Kaepernick and you made that much of a fuss about the cause, $50 million makes you look weak.
What about $100 million?
It still makes you look weak. I know you're going to be wealthy forever, but your cause was enough to file a collusion suit. It was all about the cause. If somebody can buy off your cause, then the cause it's kind of flimsy in my book.
That's fair.
That's the way I look at it.
But you can help a lot of people with the $100 million.
I guess you can.
A lot of people with $100 million.
I know how to feel about that. I'll be honest with you. I have a lot of great respect for people who adhere to the cause without being influenced by the dollar. But anyway, where were we? So that's another subject we could talk about, obviously. But baseball, and why do we hate baseball now? Because Tyrone, you're right. Most people feel like you. And I don't get why.
You know what it is, though? Because baseball is your first love, and your first love never lets you down.
It's not really my first love.
You love, Mike.
No, I think basketball is I love more than baseball.
I've seen you at a basketball court. I've seen you at baseball. You have a zen. Natalie, co-sign this for me, please. Mike, you conduct yourself differently at the baseball diamond.
Yeah, but
it's your real love.
I'm like telling you right now that I don't care that all these shenanigans are going on. If I really cared about baseball, I would care the same way you're caring about all the free agents that aren't signed.
But I think you care from inning one through inning nine. And then after that, you're like, whatever. I care about the whole thing and the whole presentation, and I think baseball needs adjustments, and the offseason is part of it. I should have been able to buy my tickets for my Sunday package that I want to buy already. Now the money, by the time they make the signing, the money that I had set aside to buy my Sunday package for season tickets will be gone because I have to budget for other things. Like this is what I mean. With basketball, you can say, okay, the Sixers added X, I can buy season tickets Y, boom, here we go. With baseball, the season starts in, what, six weeks?
NBA is governed by revenues shared and a percentage of revenues going towards the actual employees of the league. Baseball is not. It is different. There's never going to be a salary cap. There's never going to be that kind of situation that exists in the NBA where a certain percentage of the revenue are going to go to the players. In the meantime, the players are more than well compensated. They are compensated beyond any other league, these players. And we're bitching and moaning. They don't have any clout to bitch and moan about owners withholding money from them because they're already making the money.
Fair, but the fan is still getting screwed because if you're a Phillies fan right now, you don't know whether or not to care about your baseball team, and that's unfair to the fan.
Well, guess what? You'll just do it a little later. You're going to care just a little later. It'll all settle itself.
Yeah, but people are living check to check.
I want to ask people if they really hate baseball, if they're really affected by this whole thing. Because there are a lot of people around here that are affected. You're affected, Jason's affected, and I'm unaffected totally. I'm unaffected by this.
You're just up ivory tower, Mike.
No, it's not an ivory tower. It's like matter of fact. Like, this is like normal stuff that's going on. It's not prohibitive to the fans. It's not. It's just people don't want to sign at this particular moment for a business reason. Baseball allows you to have that right. There's no salary cap. There's no time limits. You can sign 2 weeks into the season if you want. It's your choice. It's the ultimate freedom. And it's not a laborious sport either. Don't give me these guys working their butt off and they're getting and the owners are withholding the money. Come on, man.
Nah, Mike, we'll go get into it.
They're romping around in the Florida sun.
Well, you're right about that,
Mike. They're taking baseball, batting practice. They're throwing on the side. They're doing base running drills, whatever the hell. They're not hitting a sled. They're not banging into each other.
But I'm not excited about my season, and I should be.
All right.
And it's their fault that I'm not. It's not my fault. It's their fault that I'm not.
It's not labor. It's leisure. Remember that.
Well, even so.
All right. It's baseball. It's different. 610-632-0975. Mike Missanelli Show, right at coming back on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
It's the 4 o'clock hour. The Mike Missanelli Show. It's brought to us by Landis Block. Your one-stop shop to create a jaw-dropping outdoor paradise online at LandisBC.com. And, of course, they bring us our regular Friday guests from 4 to 5 p.m. Brought to us by Landis Block, the one, the only, number 36, Brian Westbrook. Hello, B-West.
Mikey, miss, what's going on, my friend?
How you doing today? A lot of news dropping recently now. The Kaepernick settlement has hit. He got about 60 to 80 million.
Ooh.
Yep.
It's a lot of money.
Yes, it is. So what is your general feeling about this?
Well, I think the first reaction is that, you know, 60 to 80 million, you can help an awful lot of people with that. You can help to continue to build programs for social injustice, to fix some of those things. You could help to educate some impoverished communities. You can do a lot of different things with even a small amount of that 60, 80 million. I think, you know, my first reaction probably was similar to a lot of people. And my first reaction was, well, I thought that he wanted to expose the NFL.
Yes.
I thought that he wanted to say, the NFL, you did this, and this is how you're treating your players, one of your players, and Colin Kaepernick himself. And he wanted to expose that. And I think, in a way, and that was my first, initial reaction, after time thinking about it and talking to a few people, you have to believe that, in some way, he still has kind of achieved that. I think in some way, and you have your law degree, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think that in some way he probably had some type of evidence to prove that the NFL colluded against him. Probably not enough to get a guilty plea and all the different things that Tyrone mentioned earlier, as far as the going back and trying to go through the court settlement process and all those things would take up and tie up a bunch of time until he's 110 years old. But so maybe settling was the way to go. For me, kind of came to an anticlimactic ending, because you wanted the NFL to sit and answer some questions. Did you collude against this young man because of the kneeling process? And because it didn't end that way with getting those answers, I think for a lot of people, it will end with a sour taste in their mouth.
Really?
I think it will.
I actually think that the NFL, by settling, admitted that they were colluding.
Now,
you kind of peel back the layers to find that. But to me, that was the message. But here's the question that's the harder one to answer. There's a fine line between the guy selling out for the money or making his point on what the protest was about in the first place. And how do you draw that line?
Well, I still think his point was lost long ago. Not from him or not from his supporters, but by people that are trying to detract from the situation. I think that they wanted to make it out to be something against the flag and our country and our soldiers, when it had nothing to do with that. It was about social injustice and trying to bring up the minorities and not allow them to be treated in an unfair manner by our own people, our police, our country, those types of things. I still think that's a battle that he'll continue to fight. And I think that at this point, he continues to be the face of that movement. And here again, Mike, I don't think that he gets picked up by another football team. I don't think he plays in the NFL again. But I think this two-year process has exhausted him. I can't imagine going to court and having to fight these types of things for over 2 years. That has to exhaust him. I think he was tired of the fight. And I don't know this to be true. But I also think that this is a great opportunity now to get 60 to 80, however much money, millions of dollars, and now take it to the next process, the next part of the phase, next phase of this process, which now he does not fighting with the NFL. He can go out and help the community that he started this whole protest over.
So do you think the NFL paid him to go away from football? Or could there be, and one of the reasons why he settled was that there's some kind of wink-wink tacit agreement that he would get another shot with a football team, and that was part of the settlement?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think they want him to go away. I think they want him to stop protesting. And again, the NFL is about dollars and cents. And any protest or any type of grievance centered around the NFL, they want to get away from that as soon as possible. You saw that with the concussion deal. And so they want to get the cold Colin Kaepernick deal away from the NFL. I still don't think, and I don't think there was a wink-wink promise that you'll get another opportunity, because if that was the case, then that actually proves a collusion side of things even more so than them selling the case. I just think that they want this thing to be over. They don't want to go into the 2019 season with the whole Colin Kaepernick deal still hanging over their head. And in some ways, again, to me, I'm glad that Colin got paid. I'm glad that he's going to get an opportunity to go help people. I just kind of think that, of course, just like anybody else, you want to know the details. You want to also know what the NFL did against this young man to not allow him to get a job.
So you don't think he said, yeah, I'll settle, but you've got to give me an opportunity to someone's got to give me a contract. No.
Well, how could you do that? I mean, how could you do it? I mean, I think it would be hard. I mean, you got 32 teams and say, how can Roger Goodell say, you know what, the New York Giants, you have to give him a contract. Mm-hmm. Or say the Patriots, you have to give him a contract. Based on some of the things that I've seen with Robert Kraft as of late with Michael Rubin and Meek Mill and all those other guys, my first thought was maybe the Patriots would give Colin Kaepernick an opportunity, even though his situation is totally different than Meek Mill's. But I just think, you just wonder what team, if they didn't want the distraction before, that he wasn't good enough, or they hated the fact that he kneeled down for the flag before, what makes them think that now he's good enough? And what would make people say, I mean, the distraction would be missing. The same distraction that I guess people believe what happened before, which I don't think should have been a distraction, but the same distraction that some people thought would happen before, those same questions will come. Well, if you thought it was so important for him to be your starter or second string quarterback now, why didn't you pick one last year? Because last year we sucked and we didn't have a starting quarterback. Why didn't you do it then? He could have helped us win some games last year and potentially make the playoffs, or all those types of conversations. Those are the conversations that would be had if any team picks him up at this point, which is the reason why it's hard for me to imagine that anybody would.
What does this say about the NFL? That they would rather pay $60 to $80 million in a settlement when what would have defeated the collusion case in the first place is to sign him somewhere within the NFL. Don't you find that odd?
Well, I think it's, yeah, I think the NFL is not about conflict. They don't want to be in court 24/7, and I didn't see this thing coming to a conclusion anytime soon. I think they wanted to be this thing to be behind them. And in order to do that, you got to give them $70 million.
Well, but you also behind him is somebody signs him. There's no collusion then. If somebody in the league signs him, there's no collusion. The collusion suit goes away. Well, because somebody broke it.
But now you have to talk one of these owners into signing a guy that apparently they thought was out of bounds. That they apparently thought wouldn't be worth it.
They'd rather pay their way out of it than actually suck it up and hire them.
No. The NFL, yeah, of course they would. But how do you talk a team who thinks that with this guy kneeling on the sideline may somehow divide my fan base and cost me money? How do you talk a team into doing that?
It's not really the first team. The Eagles did it with Vic.
Absolutely.
I don't understand the whole thing.
I absolutely agree with the Michael Vick. That's absolutely true. But I mean, this is a different thing because it's a weird thing, and I wish that I had the answer. I still don't think, like I mentioned, I don't think that he plays again. I think the NFL absolutely said, just go away. We don't want to have to deal with it. Mm-hmm. We'll pay you however much money, and maybe they didn't get all the money that they wanted, but $70 million is an awful lot of money. I think Colin Kaepernick continues to go on to lead the movement of trying to help and solve and lessen social injustice in our country.
All right. Now, switching gears, and we're going to take some calls on this because a lot of people are online and want to talk about Colin Kaepernick with you. The baseball situation. Tyrone and I got into a little tiff earlier. Not a tiff, discussion. And Tyrone thinks that these free agents that are out there that aren't signing are really hurting baseball's popularity. I don't. I think that the baseball is set up to have this thing happen all the time because the players don't want to sign, the agents don't want them to sign, and it's up to them. They run the show. And so, therefore, it's not hurting baseball because they're eventually going to sign, and when they sign, people will flock to see them.
I kind of agree with you there, and I hate to do that, but I think that the way that baseball is set up, and that they don't have a signing period, do they? Do they have a deadline that they need to sign by?
No, okay. They can sign like halfway into the season.
Oh, okay. Well, then we know these guys will be signed up if they wanted to. If baseball truly felt that it was hurting baseball, as far as fans, then they would put a deadline on it. I believe that all of these leagues are about dollars and cents. If they were hurting their fan base, or at least thought they were, then they certainly would put a deadline on it. I just think these agents are playing the game. It's simple as that. The agents are playing the game. Whoever is getting close enough towards spring training, to talking about the regular season games, and it begins to become desperate, they're going to pay the money. And if you're Bryce Harper, you're Machado, you're saying, absolutely, I can wait. I don't need to go to spring training. I'm going to wait until somebody comes up to the $300 million that I'm asking for, the $350 million that I'm asking for. And the agents are absolutely willing to play that game as long as they get their percentage. I think that baseball as a whole has become boring for a lot of these kids that want instant gratification. These kids want to know, do you like them? Do you hate them? Put a heart beside it. Put a LOL next to it. It's an instant gratification society. And guess what? Baseball ain't about instant gratification. It's about sit there for 3 hours and hope somebody hits a home run. It's a whole different world than what's going on right now.
All right. It's funny about baseball that they don't have to be in training camp like football players or like hockey players or like NBA basketball players, because you're not talking about wind. You're not talking about having to go through hits. Mm-hmm. You know, all Bryce Harper's doing, you know what he's doing? He's hitting about 2,000 balls in a cage every day. He's doing some sprint work. He's throwing long toss with somebody, and he's ready to play.
I wish I played baseball. Baseball is such a simple sport. Is it? Maybe just think about, I think back to my days in Lehigh and walking out there. It's 95 degrees. I have 20 pounds of equipment on, a helmet and shoulder, all these different things. And I'm out there getting my head beat in by Dawkins and all Trotter and everybody else. And then I look at the baseball spring training. And they got shorts on and sunglasses.
Yeah, sure.
Eating sunflower seeds, spitting. And spitting they got out. The girls on the sideline cheering. And they're having a great time, smiling and joking, playing all types of baseball games.
Yeah, you forget.
Oh, and by the way, their contracts are guaranteed too. So they're $20 million a year, they're getting that.
And there's no salary cap.
No salary cap. So so now I know why they're smiling and having a great time.
But you're missing one thing.
What's that?
It's the hardest single skill to do in professional sports.
No, you're it's missing not. That. Oh. No, it's not.
Oh, how you no, disrespect hitting a baseball of a 95 mile an hour fastball slider?
No, that's
the hardest single thing to do in all of the four sports.
Well, guess what you don't have to worry about in baseball? You don't have to worry about someone hitting you in the mouth besides the ball.
Oh, you do?
When you step in the batter's box, you don't have to worry about somebody going across the middle, catching a ball that's moving as you're moving.
No, you don't have to worry about a 98-mile-an-hour fastball coming at your head.
Yeah, you duck like everybody else does.
Uh-huh. And then you get your jaw busted like Giancarlo Stanton.
Yeah, that happens once every 100 times.
I love this. I'd pay to see you stand in there against a 98-mile-an-hour fastball.
I will tell you this. Over this summer, I went into the batter's house. I took my kids to the putt, which, you know, they had the batters.
And you didn't hit a loud foul, probably.
I'm going to tell you exactly what happened here. I used to play baseball back in the day, so I get in the first cage, just going 50. I'm hammering these, easy hammering these. 60, you know, still hitting them. Now, and here's the thing about the batter's cage. These balls are not coming at the same place.
No, they shoot at you. It's unfair, right? You can't time a delivery.
So 60, okay. 70, I'm like, oh, no. Mm-hmm. It got a little ugly. It got ugly. Then it went to 80. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know what? This is not cool. I felt like I was going to get hurt. I felt that way. I'm not going to lie to you. I felt bad in there. I jumped out of there and didn't hit very many. Yeah. However.
Grudging respect. Because it's sport all of a sudden.
It's different. It's different.
Let's go to the phones. Andrew in Newtown. Andrew, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Andrew.
Happy Friday, everybody there. Hey, Mike, you should take Brian down to Clearwater when you guys go down there. Sounds like you're looking forward to that.
I'm trying to broker a deal. Brian, if you want to come down, I'm trying to get Larry Boa to hit me some infield.
I would absolutely like to come down.
But I'd love to take BP. That would never happen because they wouldn't let us use our fields. But I would take some infield, and we're going to video it.
Mike, I would love, you know what I would love? I would love to pitch you the ball and see how many times I can strike you out.
Oh, dude.
That's what I would love.
Strike me out.
You're lucky you get a swing and miss. You're not the athlete
strike
that
me
you
out.
Used to be at all.
What are you throwing at? 65 mile an hour? You're topping out at?
Are you crazy? I got one of the best arms on our team.
We'll see if you can throw a strike at 80 miles an hour.
What a shame you are.
Go ahead, Andrew.
That's okay, man. It feels like springtime out there today anyway. Unfortunately, the golf courses are unplayable. Anyway, Colin Kaepernick, since we have the expert there with you. Listen, I'm glad it's validated. I don't think it's enough. You know, everybody knows that's nothing for the NFL, the monetary thing. And they really have an admitted fault. And as far as giving him a position, I really think that should have been part of the deal. I mean, here's the question. What are his demands as far as a contract? Is he willing to hold, go to training camp, practice squad, hold a clipboard? You know, what's he looking for? I think he should have an opportunity, like an unlawful firing, basically.
He's looking to compete for a job, probably, if he gets a shot. I mean, that's the only thing he can ask for. He can't ask for anything specific.
Well, if anybody in the NFL had any sort of justice, they would give him an opportunity because they pretty much admit they're wrong. And, you know, and that's great. I think that's just the first step. They should give him the opportunity. And, yeah, it's, 3 years later? I don't know what his skills are like, but he, I think, deserves the opportunity. And I think he wants it. I don't know. I can't talk intelligently on that subject, but I'm on the side where I don't think the NFL has done enough. It's a start. I'm glad they admit they're wrong, and I think it has. I had to watch Sanchez and whoever's replacement was, and that was bad enough.
Well, no, Andrew, you're absolutely right. Here's the thing. Brian, you're right. They paid him to go away.
Right.
Basically what they did.
Yeah.
They paid him to go away. They squelched this whole protest movement by writing two big checks. The first one was the $100 million, where the agreement was made, okay, we're going to donate this money to various social justice programs, and you don't kneel anymore. So they bought that away. Now here's Kaepernick, who was the poster child for it. They bought him away. There's something untasteful about that.
You know what I would have liked Kaepernick to have put in this deal? That, you know, there was a huge push for, after the Ray Rice incident, about the domestic violence. You're talking about commercials, you're talking about PSAs, you're talking about all different types of things that the NFL had NFL players doing. If Colin Kaepernick, in my mind, you want to try to fix it, you want to continue to push the movement further, to me, the NFL not only giving me money, but I want you to make a statement that says, listen, 85% of our players are dealing with the exact issue that Colin Kaepernick started the protest about. Let's make a movement about that. You made a movement about domestic violence. You make you stands on things like breast cancer awareness and other different charities. Let's make a stand for this. This affects a lot of the people that actually are the players on the field, the talent on the field. This affects these guys. It affects us. And if it affects those guys, you're talking about 80% of the players, then it affects the entire community. Why not take a stand? To me, that would be something that if I'm Colin Kaepernick, I don't know what he has envisioned for his whole program, but I think that's something that I would want the NFL to do. That's something that I would have pushed in these conversations and the agreement that we have to make sure that the NFL is doing that.
Yeah. Well, real fast, though, Brian, when they do these other things, there is no other side. Domestic violence, there's no other side. For breast cancer awareness, there's no other side. But if you do that with Colin Kaepernick, they would be like the Cleveland Police Union that got really mad. If you came out and did that PSA, they would say, after you ran it, X team hates police. Whether it's true or not, that's what their response would be. So if the NFL runs those PSAs, how do you counter it when the police come out and say in certain cities, say, oh, the NFL hates the police? That's why they're running these PSAs.
Well, I think the same way that you say, not every person that is claimed to have committed domestic violence actually has committed it. I mean, it's the same thing. No, listen, I'm not saying every police officer is guilty of targeting minorities and saying you're doing something. I'm not saying that. We're talking about the bad police officers. In my opinion, if the Cleveland police officer or any other police unit, if they know of and they think someone is bad who is shining a bad light on them, then they should be speaking up just as much as we are. They should be saying, hey, bro, that's not how we roll. That's not how we get down, because when you do that, you make us all look bad.
That's what I would be preaching. And listen, if you're not against bad policing, if you're not against people that have power, like police officers that are taking advantage of undeserving people, minorities in particular, then listen, that's too bad. You want to yell and scream about that, then that's just too doggone bad. The truth is that in this society, there are people that have a problem with the police because the police have treated them poorly based on how they treated other people. That's not fair. That's not right. That's not how this country was designed to be. And if that's the way we want to operate, then we need to go to a different system. But that's not what we designed this country to be. That's not what we're all trying to say. You're saying we have the opportunity to go out there and fight in the wars? Okay, well, treat me the same when we get back here. Do that. And if we can't do that, then we're going to have more problems. And to me, it would be huge of the NFL to say, listen, we know that not all police officers are bad. But however, the ones that are bad, we need to stomp this out right now and end this social injustice for our people, for the people, not just the people in the NFL, not just for black people, but for our society as a whole. They could take a huge step for that. This is the world's favorite game, America's favorite game. Why can't we take a step in that direction in helping the people? Because I'll tell you this, and they got behind J.J. Watt when he collected $40 million in donation for the people of Houston. They got behind that. Why can't they get behind Colin Kaepernick and his views as well?
But you know why.
Well, I know why, but that's not right. I mean, that doesn't make it right.
Whether I know it or not. The most distasteful thing, because in the NFL offices, they're dancing around going, we saved the sport from this bad communist wave. We've saved our advertisers from going through the anguish of having white consumers boycott our product. Everything is good now. All we had to do is put a little money out. That's the thing that is very distasteful about this whole thing today.
It kind of makes you think that, and a lot of people have said it on social media, well, it was all about the money for Colin Kaepernick. Well, I don't know.
No, it was all about the money for the NFL.
Yeah, it was all about the money.
He took it, and you can slice that several different ways that you want. But, the bottom line is they were trying to get rid of a problem. 610-632-0975. Guess what's coming up? Brian, the love sex medley. Have you been following this all week?
I have not, but I love love and sex. I love both of those things.
We have three songs put together in 3 seconds. The listener has to determine who the songs are and who the artist is doing the song.
Wow, that's tough.
And this is the final qualifier we have today. And at 5 o'clock, we have the monster prize that will be selected at random by Miss Natalie of a big, big package. So that's going to happen after this, right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.